Ding, 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 ding. Oh, look, it looks like the gloves are off. Mr. E has had it with me. When you've had it with someone, it means that's enough. I'm not going to take this anymore. It's fight time. So today's lesson is going to be MMA the English way, or English the MMA way. And you're probably asking, what is the MMA? MMA is mixed martial arts. It's very popular in North America. One of the biggest proponents or guys who talks about it is Joe Rogan. He's got the Joe Rogan Experience. On that podcast, it's similar to, it's actually on YouTube like we are, and they talk about different things. And he's a commentator for the MMA. And when I was watching his podcast one day, I noticed a lot of the words that he was using, people are using on a regular basis in regular conversation. So mixed martial arts, which is that martial arts of fighting, has now come down to the street. And people are using it to communicate. Now, when people usually use MMA language, it's to communicate the difficulty in a situation or how hard it is to do something, okay? So I'm going to go to the board and start giving you a lesson on how you can use English the MMA way to improve your cultural understanding of what, you know, what we're saying and how to express yourself, right? So first of all, this lesson is for Ray Scott and Josh Stewart, two great teachers I used to work with. I used to love Ray because one of his favorite songs was Nobody Speak, Nobody Get Choked. You're into jiu-jitsu. Choke him out. Okay, so quote of the day is, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Mike Tyson. Now, you won't use that in your English. If you walk into your boss and go, yeah, boss, you got a plan, but it ain't going to work when you get punched in the mouth, you're probably getting fired. Don't do that. But I will teach you how to move through a conversation and how certain phrases are used about combat or mixed martial arts that tell you when you're at the beginning of a situation, you're in the middle of the situation, and when it's the end of the situation. What it means when someone says it to you, or what it means when you say it to other people. Round one, ding ding. Okay, so let's talk about throwing one's hat in the race, or in the ring. The ring, when you're boxing or wrestling, it's a square place, so this makes no sense, but it's considered or called a ring. And when you throw your hat in the ring, it meant to accept a challenge or to become part of a challenge. A lot of times now, politicians use this when they say, you know, Obama's throwing his hat in the ring, or Joe Biden is throwing his hat in the ring, George Bush is throwing his hat in the ring. It means they want to be part of the political race, to be president or some position. So they throw their hat in the ring saying, I'm part of this contest too. So when someone says, you know, they're sitting in the corner going, I challenge Ezekiel, man, I'm gonna go that. It's like he's throwing his hat in the ring to fight Ezekiel. So when you throw it in, the fight has not started, but you're saying, hey, I want to be part of this, whatever the situation, running for a political office or a challenge of some sort. You say you want to be part of it. Spoiling for a fight. Well, spoil is a very funny word. When something spoils, it goes bad. So you can think of spoiling for a fight as somebody really wants to fight and their attitude is getting bad. Like they're going from yeah to yeah, let's go for it. They're spoiling. So they're spoiling ing, moving. They want something to happen. It doesn't have to be physical fight. It can be an argument. But it means they are in the mindset where they want to get engaged in a fight or an argument. So if you say they're spoiling for a takeover, no, takeover, they're spoiling for a fight, they want to have a competition with you. If this is in business. So maybe Adidas, a Nike, or Nike spoiling for a fight, they want to compete with Adidas. This is two businesses going together. So please don't think everything I say is about fighting, but understand that these ideas come from fighting and we use them in regular conversation to tell you something is happening. Usually some kind of combat, argument, competition, right? And combat by that, I mean fight. Come to blows. When you come to blows, it means it's gone from the situation of talking to moving into hitting. Now, military talk about that. Countries can come to blows. So they've tried negotiation. That didn't work. And it goes, now it's fight time. Remember what I said? This is round one. This is before the fight starts or you're actually getting into the fight. Right? So when countries come to blows, it was like, okay, let's go. Now we're coming to blows. The gloves are off. Okay, the first three, okay, we're talking about getting ready for the competition, looking for a fight, starting the fight. When the gloves are off, like Mr. E, okay, we're fighting with gloves, you hit me in the ding, ding, the place I don't like, I take off the gloves. I go, no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not, no fair fight. We're going, I'm doing everything. So when the gloves come off, it means the rules don't count. So when you go, the gloves are off, it means the fight has started and the rules don't count. We're just going straight into combat. So even if two people are fighting and then somebody does something really bad and they're kicking their area, you might see the other person go, wrong-a, nah, and then they go crazy. You say, what happened? Gloves are off. If you're Mike Tyson, it means biting an ear.
Hi, I got your ear.
You let Vander Holyfield,
I bite it.
Anyway, just joking, Mike, because you know I respect you. Afraid of you too. I respect you. Okay, so we talked about round one, before the fight and the initiating fight. Let's go to fight time. Now you're in the middle of the fight. Fighting is not a sport for the weak or people who don't like blood and don't want to get hurt. So when we're using fighting terminology, you know nothing is ever, it's a fun time for everyone. No, sir. So when we start using a lot of these idioms, we're talking about difficulty or being beaten, which means not winning, okay? Very few terms, funny enough, are about you doing well in the fight. It's usually someone's getting beaten, and that is why you're doing well in the fight. No holds barred. When there's no hold barred, that means no rules. Everything is allowed. So when, for instance, Microsoft and Apple computers had a no holds barred fight, no, you didn't see Steve Jobs, and Bill Gates, two of the guys wearing their polo shirts fighting. No, what it meant was they got their lawyers out, they dropped prices, all the rules, traditional business rules were gone, and they just said, we're going to have a fight or a battle. Okay, and yeah, I'm trying to have you imagine those two fighting like, okay, let's go. Are you ready, Bill? I knocked your glasses off. I'm not tough either. I wear glasses too. Anyway, so no holds barred. Fighting tooth and nail. That tells you when a fight, because in boxing, jiu-jitsu, karate, taekwondo, they are forms where you are fighting. There are rules, there are techniques to fighting. When it's tooth and nail, I'm talking this and this. I mean, we're talking animal fighting. When you're fighting tooth and nail, it also means you're fighting with everything you have. Forget elbows and stuff like that. You're now scratching, biting. Mike Tyson again. You're doing whatever you have to do to win. We usually say it's savage. So when you're fighting tooth and nail, it's everything you have plus the basic things you came with as a human animal, okay? So you know if they're fighting tooth and nail to survive, right? People fall out of an airplane and they're on a mountainside and there's ice everywhere and they're fighting tooth and nail to survive means everything they have. They're not taking out their little cutlery and being all civilized, like whatever you have to do, okay? Now, sometimes they say tooth and claw because we think of animals. These are no longer nails, they're claws. And it means even more savage, more barbaric, which means more like primitive man, you know, like, whoa, Cro-Magnon, right? Sometimes people talk about claw when they're referring to women because women have longer nails, they're like claws. Uphill battle. Now, I'm not into jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's not that I'm not into it. I don't study it or understand a lot of it. But an uphill battle is when you're in a bad position and you have to fight to get up. So you're not in a good position. So you're, say, because I think in jiu-jitsu, on your back fighting is not such a bad thing. But for the average person, if you're on your back and there's a really big person on top of you and you have to get them off to win, that's an uphill battle. It's going to be really tough for you to do. So the uphill means the hill is going this way and you're trying to push your car uphill. Very difficult to do. It's easy to go downhill, right? We'll do that in another day because that's another meaning. But an uphill battle means very difficult for you to win. Remember I talked about the ring and how the ring is square, okay? And the fighters are here and there's another here. And this is it and the two fighters are in here. Okay, when you're on the ropes, and some of you may not remember this, but there was a guy called Muhammad Ali. He floated like a butterfly, and he stung like a bee. He had a rope-a-dope defense, and what that would mean is, these ropes here, he would lie against the ropes and let someone punch until they ran out of energy, so they got tired, and then he would get off the ropes and hit them back, and they would be too tired to fight. But when somebody is on the ropes, usually, and they're not Muhammad Ali, being on the ropes is like you're tired and you can't fight anymore. And someone's just beating you up and you're like, oh God, please, somebody stop this. I can't take anymore. And you're on the ropes. It doesn't mean it's finished. Maybe you're there like Muhammad Ali and you're holding on going, okay, two more seconds, this person gets tired, I will fight back. Or you're at your lost, a lost place of energy, you're about to lose and you're trying to hold on just to survive. So when you're on the ropes or a company is on the ropes, everybody's saying they're going to lose. It's just a matter of time before they're gone. But you're not out yet. Which leads me to one of my favorite ones, to go for broke. A lot of times when you're on the ropes and there's nothing much you can do, you will take a serious risk and go, if I do nothing, I lose. So I'm going to do everything I can right now. I will go for broke so that maybe I take this one chance and I will win. Maybe. So when you go for broke, you put everything you have in a situation to take an opportunity to win because you're losing anyway. So you go for broke and say, if I get it though, I will win. I'm going to lose if I don't, so I might as well try. What does broke mean? You guys usually think broke means doesn't work, yes? Well, in English means, broke means no money. When you're broke, you got nothing. You got nothing left to give, nothing left to lose. So you go for broke, you give everything. If you don't win, you lose everything. But when you're going for broke, you're usually on the ropes, on an uphill battle, so you might as well go for broke, because otherwise you lose anyway. Cool? No, it's not cool. It's not cool at all. It's a terrible situation. But hey, you have to go for broke. I already explained your situation. You might as well. Anyway, now, we started at the beginning of the fight. We talked about how someone throws their hat in for the challenge. We talked about someone spoiling, looking for the fight, and how the blows come, and when the gloves come off, and we're in the situation. Now we moved into the fight. All right, we talked about what the rules might be, how you have to fight to survive, how it's an uphill battle, you might be on the ropes going for broke. So how does this end? You saw how it began in the first round, you got fight time. This is the Omega symbol. For those of you who like comic books, I believe it's Darkseid who has the Omega symbol, not Thanos. Omega is the opposite of Alpha, which is the last letter of the Latin alphabet. So it's the end. Omega means end. So now we're at our end round, the last round of the fight. You've gone through the beginning, the middle. So let's talk about the end. And this is where Joe loves to talk. Joe Rogan likes to talk about tapping out. He tapped out early. It was tough to get him to tap out. Tapping out, this is a tap. And out is this. Tap, out. When you tap out, it's usually in martial arts that the technique that's being used is so painful, you tap and you say, I give up, I surrender, please stop, to tap out. So in martial arts like jiu-jitsu, because they choke you, if you tap, because
usually you can't speak when they're choking.
You can't talk because they're choking you, you can't breathe. You have to tell them you give up by tapping. So it's universal, someone taps, they're saying, I give up, you should stop. So that's an indication, if you tapped out, it's done, the fight is over. Throw in the towel. This comes from boxing. If you've ever watched Rocky, you know Rocky, Sylvester Stallone? Do-do-do, do-do-do. His corner man, or the guy he would train with, he would throw in the towel. Ah! And that meant, stop the fight. The fighter may not want to stop, but his trainer or partner is saying, the fight is over, he's too hurt, stop. And you throw in the towel. And once the towel would hit from your corner, the referee, that is the person watching, would say, okay, fight over. They have thrown in the towel. So when they didn't tap out, maybe they couldn't tap out, someone would throw the towel. It would be really funny to see the boxer run and go, here's a towel, Mike Tyson's gonna kill me. It's never happened. Someone else usually throws in the towel. But you can personally throw in the towel, and it means to give up. You are giving up. It is similar to tapping out. I throw in the towel, I don't want to fight anymore. Okay? Remember I told you that there are not many idioms with winning? When you win hands down, see what this is? It means you won easily. You killed them. You destroyed them. It's not just winning. When you win hands down, it's like you pushed them down to nothing and you won. Yay. Or the joke could be you won. You were so good you didn't have to get your hands up and you won with your hands down, which is terribly embarrassing for the other person. So to win hands down means to win very easily. And finally, when we say take it on the chin, this is your chin. Now, when you take it on the chin, it means you get hit. It means for the person getting hit, it's not a good situation. But it has two meanings, which is funny. When someone takes it in the chin, it means they take a bad situation and they get hit by it. But it also means you were strong and courageous. You got hit on the chin and you took it like a man. Ugh. So when someone takes bad news on the chin, they don't cry. My girlfriend left me. He goes, he took it on the chin like a man. He's like, yeah, she left me. I'll have to get another one. It hurts, but I'll still continue. He took it on the chin, right? You didn't fall down and cry. You took it and you stood there. So this is like losing and winning at the same time. You lost and it hurt, but you were like kind of a hero. You didn't cry or whine about it. You still lost though. So these are winning. And you can see, unless you win-win, that's the only way to win. People might give you a little bit of, yay, you lost, but you looked good, but you still lost. Okay, so we've done all of these. And what I want to do quickly is, where would you use something like this? I gave you this one, usually it's used for politics. Spoiling for a fight can be used in a romantic relationship. Girlfriend and boyfriend, you might say, my boyfriend was looking this day, he was angry, he was just spoiling for a fight. He was looking for a reason to fight with me. And that's argument. It's not always physical. Coming to blows usually means physical, but you can use it in a financial sense if you're writing. See, I'm teaching you this because if you're writing, this is a great way to make your writing very interesting. It really puts energy into it because fighting is exciting. It brings people to, like, what's going to happen next? So if you say countries, so this can be for politics, this could be for business, or for people physically fighting each other, and the gloves are off can be in a conversation that went nicely, then you were being insulting. What do you mean I smell like cheese? The gloves are off, now we're going to have a fight. It doesn't mean physical, it means I might be rude to you too, okay? And these ones in fight time, no hold barred, once again, can be talked about how the rules were dropped because what the person had done was so bad, and that could be a physical fight. That could be an argument. Fighting tooth and claw can usually be used about survival. So it doesn't have to be about a physical fight. You can put talking about in Venezuela right now, people are fighting tooth and nail to survive the bad economic situation. That really tells me as a person listening how desperate these people are. If you say they were really trying hard to survive, I get it. They're fighting tooth and nail. Remember I talked to you like it's like going back to being a basic human, like you're doing everything you can using everything you have. And even just saying it, I'm like, oh. Uphill battle can tell you the difficulty. Like if you were a poor student from a poor neighborhood who wanted to go to Harvard, and you say, oh, I came from a poor African country, and I had no money, and my parents had no money, and we had to like work day and night. It was an uphill battle to get my education. It wasn't easy for me, right? On the ropes. You can talk about a company, you can talk about a country, you can talk about your relationship was on the ropes. It was like, it wasn't finished just yet, but it almost felt like it. You know, like I feel like I'm dying here, but maybe it's not over yet. And going for broke isn't always negative. Let's just say you're in a race or you're like, I played soccer when I was a kid. And sometimes they were down 3-1 and we're like, what can we do? And we just go for broke. We would do everything we could. In the last 5 minutes going there, we're going to lose if we don't. So we will try as hard as we can. And it's just, it sounds like a story of a hero. Even when you watch comics, they go for broke. Like, the planet might be destroyed. We may die, but we will do this. We'll go for broke. We'll take this opportunity and risk. Cool? Remember we talked about tap out? Sometimes tapping out is funny. Because sometimes when you tap out, it's when you've been drinking. You've been drinking. Me and Ezekiel hanging out at the bar, we're drinking. He's up to 10 drinks. I'm at 11. He goes for, I'm ordering 3 more drinks. I'm like, okay, I'm tapping out. I can't drink anymore. I'm done. Like, you can drink. I will die if I keep drinking. Notice this had nothing to do with being violent. It just means I've come to a situation and you will see people do it at the bar. Like, okay, I got to go. They're tapping out. And people, you tapping out already, man. You're like, yeah, I can't do it anymore. All right. Throwing in the towel. Maybe you're working on an assignment or something. You don't think you can get it done. You'll throw in the towel and go, I quit. I leave. And people go, you throw it in the towel? You can't do it? You go, yep, absolutely. I'm taking these away from violence because I don't want you to think, because I say speak the MMA way, it has to be violent. But we use it once again to show how intense something can be, how much work we're putting in, or the difficulty. So using these combat words doesn't mean you're a violent person. You can see how people use it from business into bars to just spike some interest and make things a little bit more exciting in our conversation and writing. Winning hands down. Oh, that's just there. You can use that for anything from playing cards, playing pool, and actually combat. And to take it on the chin is almost like a compliment that you give to somebody who's lost. You know, like, let's just say, I don't know, Donald Trump loses in 2020. And he was like, well, you know, I tried my best in the competition. Miss Hillary Clinton did a good job when she won. And he's very, very mature about it. You say, hey, he took it on the chin. That was a hard blow to lose to her. And here he is being like a real president, ex-president.
Bullshit.
So what I'm saying is that could happen. Okay, another example of taking on the chin is if you're going for a girl and you don't quite get her and all your friends know and they knew you had special plans and you didn't get it, and you say, it's okay, guys, we can go out and hang out tonight. They go, hey, man, you took it on the chin. You go, yeah, well, life goes on. And then all the men are like, he's such a soldier, such a man, such a mensch. Okay, so I've done that, and as you know, it's time for us to do the quiz. You gonna throw your hat in the ring and see how well you do? Let's go. Well, it's time. Or as we would say, bing, bing, bing. Let's go to it. Right, so I have six sentences here and nothing else. Why? Because you're going to help me figure out which phrase goes with which sentence, which would be the best way to use the phrases we learned. There were six I taught you, so we're going to go six to the board. Starting off with number one. They really want to fight with somebody. What is the best phrase that works with that sentence? Okay, if you remember, it was in the round one category, and it was spoiling for a fight. You could say they were spoiling for a fight. Why? Remember I said they really want to do it. Their attitude is going bad. They're spoiling for a fight. They really want to fight with somebody. They're looking for a fight or an argument. Number two, I ate too much and I had to stop before I was sick. So I ate too much and I had to stop before I was sick. That's a hint. I'm helping you. Or okay, we can use one of two here. You can say, I tapped out, like I'm at a buffet, I'm eating a lot of food, I'm like, oh, I've eaten so much food, I'm tapping out, I'm done. Or I can throw in the towel. And some people, when they're eating, they pick up the napkin and they throw the napkin, right? They throw it down like, oh, I'm done. They tapped out or they're throwing in the towel. What about number three? That's right. You fight with everything you had. Remember I talked about tooth and nail. To go tooth and nail is to fight with everything you've got. Right? It's not just my hands or my elbows. It's now tooth and nail down to the basics. Number four, she said she wanted to enter the race for president. El Presidente. If I were wearing a hat, I could do it, but I don't have one. Remember, we talked about throwing your hat in the ring? It means to enter the competition, and I told you a lot of times people talk about throwing their hat in the ring for competitions. Yeah? Okay. Number five. They knew this was the lost opportunity to win, so they put everything they had on the lottery. On the lottery, you know, buying a ticket to win $1 billion or 200 million or 50 million. I forgot to get my lottery ticket today. What is the best phrase you learned that could be used here? Remember, go for broke? When you go for broke, you say they went for broke. When you go for broke, you give everything you have and you may be left with $0 or have nothing left. But you hope if you take this opportunity, you might win. And number six, the competition wasn't ready for them, so they won easily. Correct. If the competition is not ready, they don't see you coming. So it means it's easy to win. You win hands down, right? So it's very easy for you when you don't even have to try. And you guys did a pretty good job because that is kind of tough. I didn't give you any kind of help or anything to look at. So if you were able to do all six before I was done, congratulations. You are a contender for the MMA, the English way. And if you needed some help, well, you know where you are when we talked about taking it on the chin and other things like that. And if you took it on the chin, at least you finished the test with me. Now, before you go, I want to give you a bonus as always. And in this case, the bonus is going to be some things that you hear people talking about, and these are the opposites. What I mean by opposites, if you hear one, the other means the exact opposite meaning. So the first one to talk with an iron jaw. We used to talk about Iron Mike Tyson. He had an iron jaw. You hit him, nothing would happen. If someone's got an iron jaw or a tough jaw or tough chin, they say, it means they've got a strong jaw, they can take a hit. So when you guys go, that company's got an iron jaw, it will be hard to beat them because they're tough, strong. A glass jaw is like you hit it, and it breaks like glass. It shatters or breaks. If someone has a glass jaw, it means they're weak, easy to defeat. If a company has a glass jaw, it means it's easy to break them or beat them. Lightweight, heavyweight. Some of you right now are going to think heavyweight is like 250 pounds or 220 kilos, heavyweight division. Well, that would be like 400 pounds. Okay, 125 kilos. But it also has a different meaning. So heavyweight means bigger, lightweight means small. Sometimes you see little fighters like and they're really tiny and they move really fast. They go, they're lightweight division. But it also has another thing. When you say somebody's a heavyweight, if you're in business and you say, Amazon is a heavyweight in the electronic business, you know, the electronic movement business or what have you. Heavy means strong, big, and tough. So it's not just they have a lot of weight. They're heavyweight, they have a lot of power. That's why you call them heavyweights. A lightweight means not much competition. It's a lightweight firm, right? When you look at James's, me versus Amazon, I'm lightweight. They're a heavyweight contender, right? So heavyweight means strong competition. Lightweight means not much competition. But it also refers to the size of the person you're talking about. Lightweight is tiny, heavyweight is big. But when people in companies are usually talking about heavyweights, they talk about Microsoft, Nike, James ESL, and Mr. E. one day. Okay, now the last one pair I'm going to show you is running on empty and gas in the tank. In martial arts, gas in the tank means cardiovascular. If you've got a lot of gas in the tank, it means you've got a lot of energy, you can keep going, right? Sometimes they say you don't have any gas in the tank, which means the opposite. Not a lot of cardiovascular, you can't go in, you're tired. But generally when we say you got a lot of gas in the tank, think of your car. If you put gas, or if some of you will say petrol in the tank, you can go a long way. That's why you have gas in the tank. I can take a long trip. When you don't have any gas in the tank, one of the things we say is running on empty. Now running on empty is not exactly the same as not having gas in the tank. It means you're working, but you have no resources left. Here's an example. You haven't had food in 3 days. You haven't had sleep in 2 days. You haven't had water in 1 day, but you get up to go to work. That's right. You're running on empty. There's nothing keeping you going, but you still go. And sometimes when people are fighting, they're running on empty. You can see they've got nothing left, and they keep going. You go, that guy's running on empty. Now, sometimes they'll say he has no gas in the tank, but their opposites are gas in the tank, full of energy, running on empty. There's no resources to be used, and they're almost finished. So I've given you some opposites. You've got some phrases that you've learned. I might as well give you one more little piece you can use, okay? We're going to just do going to the homework, okay? So what I want you to do is some homework, and doing the homework, I want you to create a 3-sentence paragraph and tell a quick story with Joe Rogan. Remember, the guy from the Joe Rogan Experience being the main actor in it. So go check out his YouTube page, come back here, and then use a story using what I gave you from the first round during the fight and the Omega, the last round. Or you can use some of these opposites I just gave you and create a very interesting story. And don't forget to do the quiz. And where will you find the quiz? Well, you're going to go to www.ing-vid-video.com, where there is the quiz and several other videos that you're going to enjoy doing, with starring not just myself but other teachers who are really good at what they do. Anyway, listen, it's been fun as always. Thank you very much. Don't forget to point out the like or subscribe button, and I'll see you in the future.